This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Send Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. All right, Houston, here we are, Gilbert Garcia with another episode of A Chip from Gilbert.
Tip. Oh, not a chip.
Not a chip. Tip. Oh my God. A tip.
A tip from
there
Gilbert.
We go. Talk, inspiration, and
prayer.
There you go. And I've got my sidekick, my own Ed McMahon.
Ruby Day.
Ruby Bien here in the flesh. Here we go. So I wanted to say, Ruby, I don't know what it is. You blink your eye. I was out of circulation. I was not feeling good for a couple of days. And all of a sudden, I just can't even see all the different things in the newspaper about what's going on in this city.
Yep, you're right. It's been a bit crazy. And, I'm glad you're feeling better, Gilbert. But just to take a minute, I really enjoyed being the host.
Was it good?
It was fun. Yeah, we had a great time.
Did you do a good job?
I think I did.
Did a lot of people call you?
We had a ton of calls.
Oh, my God.
And it was so much fun. You know, I know you were under the weather, but it did give me a chance to be the host. And, the time, that hour goes by so fast. Right. We had so many calls, so many great things. And a lot was dealing with the election. So,
well, speaking of elections, let's go to now. What's good is what I'll do next time I'm out, I'll call into you.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And, yes. And maybe what I'll do is I'll disguise myself so you won't know it's me.
Okay.
And let's see if I can, trick you.
Okay.
All right, here we go. So, but that's good. So a couple of things. First, I got to tell everybody, early vote is today.
Today.
So yes. Everybody, listen, I don't know if there's going to be long lines or not, but at the end of the day, don't wait for the weather. Don't wait for long lines. Go vote.
Yes.
Go early vote. And it was all the way from today to December the 5th.
Correct.
So that's like a long time to early vote. So let's do it. No matter who you support, right? No matter who you support, make sure you early vote. And then, of course, it goes to Election Day, which is the 9th.
Yes.
The 9th. And guys, listen, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to make our voice heard. This is our city. And if you don't, make your voice heard, then you can't complain.
That's right.
And of course, everyone's complaining about their water bill.
Yes, they are, including me.
Including me. But, we passed something on the most recent Republican, was it A or B?
The one
yes. About three council members.
Yeah.
It was A. I think it was A.
I think it was A. Yeah.
With three. We have council member Blummers on the line. Council member, are you there? Council member. Can you hear me? Council member.
Yes. Hi, Gilbert. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. You got me, Gilbert Garcia, of A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer with my sidekick. I got my tongue tied today. But we have, of course, our council member, Plummer on the line. So, Leticia, what do you got going on? I want to know everything about you right now. What is happening?
Oh,
you're in the runoff. How's it looking? What's going on? And then I want to go back to what made you run the first time and what have you been doing in the community?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So today is early voting. Early voting starts today. We're incredibly excited. You know, I'm not quite sure what the numbers look like as of yet, but you know, everyone's probably getting their personal lives in order after a holiday.
Yes.
So we don't expect it to be so busy today, but definitely hoping for tomorrow and the rest of the week. We do have the weekend to vote as well. And then, as everyone knows, December 9th is election day. But we've got people working out there and really trying to do our best to get the word out.
Well, let me ask you this, because I mean, obviously you're talking to five different radio stations today right now. And let me just ask you this. What are some of the big issues that you think are going to be facing the council going forward? And what has been your, I don't know the right way to say it, but when you have an at large, you really sort of look after the whole city rather than you just have your district. What is sort of your things that you like to feel good about that you're helping in the city? You know, what is your, you know, your number one issue or so?
No, absolutely. So let me answer the first question.
Go ahead.
So that I think that people really are looking at two things. I think that one of them is public safety. We're going to have to make sure that we work in alignment with our public safety entities and make sure that Houston is safe. I am excited to be endorsed by all of public safety, fire and police. And that happened because they understand that I'm able to think outside the box in terms of how do we keep Houstonians safe and really look at root causes of what causes crime and give them the support that they need. Two things that I've done that I'm so proud of in terms of public safety is ensuring that we have funding for our crisis intervention teams. Hmm. And those are teams of mental health workers and a police officer. So when someone is having a mental health crisis and it could potentially cause harm to themselves or someone else, we have an officer going out, but we also have a strong social worker going out as well to help that person kind of talk them down from whatever issue they're having at the time and also get them the wraparound services that they need so that they have the help. I also put into effect the medical crisis outreach teams. Now, those are teams that only go out if a person's having a mental health breakdown and they're not going to cause harm to anyone potentially. And so it's just a social worker that goes out, that talks them, you know, calms them down and gets them the wraparound services that they need. So I was able to get funding for both of those programs. And my goal is to make sure that we keep the funding there because that keeps our officers safe, but it also doesn't put our mental health folks that are struggling into the criminal justice system. Because as you know, our Harris County jail system should not be where our mental health residents are getting treatment. They really need to have treatment in a different way. So that's one piece. The other thing that I really believe that Houstonians are worried about is our housing issue. I think affordable housing just isn't affordable. I think in a lot of ways, we're kind of renaming it to attainable housing. You know, how can we live safely? But one issue I've been dealing with is with our multifamily housing. About 2,500 apartment complexes that residents are living in currently are just not habitable. They're unsafe in a lot of ways. And so I'm working very closely with the administration, with our task force to make sure that our health department has the resources that they need to keep the 10 inspectors that I was able to bring to the budget and inspect those apartments and make sure that they have a safe environment and hold those landlords accountable when they're retaliating against our undocumented residents that are fearful of making complaints because they're scared that they would be potentially deported.
Well, holy cow. You just like named off like 50,000 things, right, Ruby?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there must be like eight of you out there doing good.
Yes.
Let me go back to the whole concept of, I don't remember the word you use, intervention. Are these officers or mental health, are they trained? Are they, trained in this? Are they HPD or they're sort of a whole different sort of thing?
So great question, Gilbert. So the beautiful thing is HPD does train all of our police officers with hours of mental health guidance. Okay. So they do have a low level of guidance in terms of if someone was maybe, you know, wanting to harm themselves, they have the skill set to talk them down, but they're not in a position to where they can really work with someone that's really having a strong mental health breakdown. And that's why I ensured that our crisis intervention teams, which have the police officer and the social worker, are there. So the social worker can talk the person down, and the police officer is there to ensure that they don't harm themselves or someone else. That is, we have 12 of those teams currently. Now, MCOT is what I created, what I brought forward and got passed through budget 2 years ago. Those are our medical outreach crisis teams. Only a social worker goes there. And so if you call 911, we know the person that's struggling with mental health concerns are not going to harm themselves or someone else. Then we send out that team, and that social worker can talk them down, give them the mental health support that they need, and then engage them with the wraparound services that the Harris County Hospital District will give, in addition to any private entities.
I think that's so great. Because, you know, so often you see, and I just hate to say, these YouTube videos and so forth, where you see law enforcement, you know, get too aggressive and sometimes do terrible things. And, you know, you look at some of these people that are the victims, a lot of them seem to be that need, that have a mental health issues. So you're really doing a lot of good, because you know, you're keeping something from turning into something, a disaster. I think that's fantastic. Well, let me ask you this. What is your background before? Because you sound so knowledgeable about all this. Like, where were you before all this city council and everything?
Thank you so much, Gilbert. So I am a proud resident of District K. So I've lived in the city of Houston since 2018 or 2017, actually. I actually practice. I'm a dentist by trade.
You're a dentist?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been practicing. Yeah, I've been practicing in Pearland since 2000. So almost got 24 years under my belt of practicing dentistry. And so when I got on council, I really wanted to focus on quality health issues because that's my background. And so because I'm a scientist, my brain works in which we make decisions based on two things. One, preventive, not reactive, right? And then number two, every decision I make in my practice is based on data. So if a patient comes in, I'm not going to just say, oh, you need a crown in that tooth. I'm going to use the x-rays and the conversation and really use the data that supports my decision. And so it really has allowed me to serve on council really as an independent voice, because I'm a small business owner and not a politician by trade. And it's really allowed me to serve my constituents, really bringing all of the pieces together, looking at data, making sure the research supports the decisions we make, engagement with our stakeholders, right? And really being preventive and not reactive. And I think that if we do those things and really listen to community, I've been able to make solid decisions in the city of Houston. And that's why our office has been able to be so successful. And I will tell you, Gilbert, I will say that my secret sauce is my staff. I've hired everybody that's part of me.
Amen to that. and that. You know what? That's always the real secret.
Yeah. Surround yourself with the good people.
That's exactly right. Well, let me be, before I really, one more thing. Who and you know, really inspired you when you were growing up, when you were sort of young, going to high school or middle school? Did you say to yourself, one of these days, I think I'm going to run for office? Or did you just like the Lord just like sent out a message and said, you need to run? I mean, what happened to you?
No, I think you're so right. And I will say it was the Lord. Honestly, Gilbert, so two things. Growing up, my grandfather was a really integral part of my life. He actually was a civil rights attorney and helped. He was actually the person that actually desegregated the Harris County jail system.
Wow.
And so the cafeteria, absolutely. And so growing up, I was around really powerful people. Mickey Leland is the godfather of my brother. Good friends of our family. He was obviously our late congressman. My dad was very involved with just friends. These were Al Green and Mickey Leland. These were colleagues of his that he grew up with. Roddy Ellis, all of these folks, they all grew up together. And so I saw them at the dinner table. I saw them coming into our homes. But never once did I ever think that I would be in the political space until 2017, where I had a tragedy in my life. I didn't know why it happened to me. It was an adoption issue, a lost custody of my son in an adoption case. And I didn't know why God, why that happened to me, but I did believe that God had a better plan, a bigger plan for me. And I listened to him and I fought hard for adoption rights at the state level and was able to get my legislation passed unanimously in 2019. And so you are right. It was God's voice to me. It is where I knew I needed to be. And in that fight, I saw how easy it was to fight for something that you're passionate about. And it opened the doors to allow me to run for city council and win.
I think that's phenomenal. What a great story. Yes. And some of those names you mentioned are like legends, right?
Exactly.
I mean, holy cow. Well, let me ask you this. Where's your website? And if people want to go knocking on doors with you or something, give us the whole poop there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's Plumber for Houston, PlumerFor Houston. And all of our information is on our website where you can join our team. You can volunteer. You can work with polls. You can help with fundraising. Whatever efforts you want to do, there's a place for you. And yeah, we're in early voting, and we're all over social media. If you just Google Letitia Plumer, PlumerPlummer, you'll find us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all the other issues. And I promise you, on those, you'll see the issues that we've been fighting for. You know, Gilbert, I am fighting for fairness and equity in the city of Houston. It doesn't matter what zip code you live in. It doesn't matter what race you are or what religion you are. I am fighting for you to have a fair opportunity to live in the city of Houston and work and thrive. And so I'm a daughter of an immigrant. And so supporting our immigrant population is very important to me. And that's why all the work that I've done really allows the voiceless to have a voice, whether that be in public safety or air quality or cancer clusters in Fifth Ward or bad water on the East End, or whatever that looks like, housing that's not habitable, whatever that looks like. I want to make sure that every Houstonian, no matter who you are, you can live in the city of Houston in the same way that someone in a more wealthier zip code lives.
Well, let me ask you one thing. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
But are you ready? I mean, not like ready for my question. Are you ready? Are you ready for election day?
I am ready for election day. I am so fired up. I am so fired up. We are, Houston has been so good to me, and I cannot wait to win this race and represent my city for four more years.
Well, you know, let's go. It's kind of like, you know, when Take the Hill. Let's go. Let's go. Well, council member, thank you for being on the show, and hopefully, you know, come on again. And I really, really I want to say thank you for talking to Houston and talking to me.
No, thank you so much, Gilbert, for everything that you do. And, you know, I want to say this. Thank you for putting a spiritual twist on your show. It's really important because I think that if you walk in God's way and God's path, then you'll always walk in the right direction. So thank you for putting that inspirational piece in there. I pray and meditate daily. And it's really allowed me to do all the brilliant things that we've been able to do with a clear mindset. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for that. Then we'll talk to you soon. That, okay, of course, yes. That, of course, is our own council member at large, Letitia Plumer.
How exciting. I didn't really know about the some of those teams that she has put together related to mental health. So, because, you know, again, you know, we're data people as well.
Yep.
So I was thrilled to hear that she was, because we all know, because we've seen the statistics, that a lot of the folks that are in our jails are get arrested, regrettably, are because of a mental issue.
Yeah, and they don't have the wherewithal to hire a good lawyer, and they don't have family,
exactly.
And then they just become in the whole the criminal arrest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
They're just stuck.
Exactly,
they're stuck.
So I mean, I wish we could have more of those teams, because I think I heard her say she only has 12.
Right.
And I'm curious how many are in a team. So, I mean, this could be questions for
yeah,
the next
time. Yeah, we need to get her back. I think something that,
I
that's
think
a whole
that's,
episode.
You know, that really is very important. You know, we're all worried about crime in our city.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes mental illness gets confused for crime.
That's right.
And so we need to address it the right way. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that, because I think that that's part of the solution.
Yes. Amen to that. Well, I'm glad she brought that up. Do we have another caller there already or no?
Melanie Miles.
Oh, we have another. Okay. Mel, are you there? Melanie Miles, are you there? Mel, are you there?
Hello?
Can you hear me? It's Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert with my colleague Ruby Dang. Is this you, Melanie?
It is, Gilbert. How are you?
How are you doing? And what's going on the whole trail and the elections and early vote and everything? And I just went, and I'll just say it again. So early vote is today. It goes to the 5th. And then we have the actual election on the 9th.
That's right.
So, Mel, what do you got? And what's going on the trail there?
You know what, Gilbert? It is really just getting started. Today is the, as you mentioned, is the first day of early voting. It's pretty exciting out here. You've got poll workers, et cetera. But the main thing is we need the voters. You mm-hmm. know, the stronger Houston is because we are together, that we stand together, we overcome challenges, we face obstacles, all in an effort to build this city, you know, and the progress and unity that we want to see. So to get there, we must get out and vote. That's what we need, people to get out and vote.
Amen for that. Let me ask you real quick. So what are you, like, the top three sort of issues, would you say? You know, it's kind of hard because an at large, you're dealing with everything, like the mayor. But if you had to say, these are the things I'm trying to do, Gilbert, what are those two or three things?
You know what, Gilbert, I'll tell you, I mean, first of all, I'm going to answer your question directly, but I do want to say this. You're right. I mean, as an at-large council member, you know, what I'm really interested in making sure is that every voice is heard, that, you know, we build bridges, we break down barriers, we create, you know, a city where, you know, every neighborhood is actually represented. So, to, you know, there are so many different things you can point to. You brought up before about public safety being the number one issue. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct. You know, everybody wants to feel safe in their neighborhood, no matter where they are. My neighbors don't come and open their doors for block walkers because they're afraid to open their, you know, they're afraid to see mm-hmm. who might be at the door. So, you know, we've got to fix that. If we want to enjoy these great restaurants we have and, you know, the other benefits of Houston, then we must feel safe. That's the first thing. So safety would be number one. And then, you know, the other things, we've got overarching issues like, you know, our drainage and the flood and the potholes in our streets. You know, I mean, you can just pick one to be honest with mm-hmm. you. You know, our water bills. I mean, you've heard a lot about that in the news. I received one of those $1,500 water bills. You know, that's a big issue. We've got to not penalize citizens. There's nowhere else we would allow someone to estimate what our bill is. You go to Walmart, if they give you an estimate of what your bill is and then overcharge you at that, then there will be lawsuits.
Can you imagine that? I mean, you go up to, you know, Walmart and you say, okay, here's your estimated. And of course they estimate like 10 times higher.
Of course.
And they say, yeah, and we'll come back to it in a couple of months and try to work it out.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And then when they work it out, it's okay, I'm going to give you an adjustment of $200 on this $1,500 bill that should have cost you $100. And then, you know, that's the workaround. And that's not right. There's no other business, and this is a business, running a city is a business. There's no other business that we would allow that in the city. We shouldn't allow that for the city. I'm sorry, we just shouldn't.
I'm so glad you're saying all that. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying that, yes, there are some big overarching issues, but there are just some basic things, Gilbert, that we could do. You know, we could clean out our drains. City Council promised that now the city is going to take over doing that and making sure our storm drains are clean and our ditches are clean. Well, I want to see, you know, a plan for doing that, actually accomplishing that task. You know, there are a number of just basic city services that we could improve upon. And then if we look at affordable housing, you know, my daughter and my son are graduating from college. they cannot afford an apartment, let alone even think about buying a house. I mean, you can just forget it, right? And so we've got to continue to make Houston affordable. We've got to, you know, have it so that every neighborhood, you know, has resources and, you know, has development and infrastructure without pushing out the people that live there.
Amen.
So that means mixed character housing, mixed development. But go ahead.
No. You keep going. You're on a roll. But let me just tell you, I am. I'm very optimistic on this new council, because already you have a couple of council members on, especially on the water issue, that are taking charge, saying, you know what, we're not going to wait for the mayor to come up with some plan. Of course, he should have had it's harder for you to say maybe, but I can say it. You know, he should have had a plan months ago, and these council members just right out of the box said, we want to have this, and we're going to put this thing in there in place. And I really think it's going to energize city council. And you know what? It's time.
It is.
And rather than just rubber stamp everything and they're just a bunch of lambs, it's time. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think it'll be great. And I think you would add to that.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, Gilbert. And like you, I am very optimistic as well. You know, the folks that we elect into city council. So, you know, the majority of council is being elected this term, right? I mean, so, you know, and the folks that we put into these positions, you know, we have the ability to shape the Houston of tomorrow. Because if we don't, then we're going to get a city council that is just fighting with itself and can't get anything done. We've got some folks that are more interested in being watchdogs than working collaboratively and consensus builders and working on facts and data and thought leaders like yourself to get things accomplished. So I'm really hopeful that the people of Houston will make the right choice.
Well, I do too. I think the bottom line is we got to get them out to vote. So I'm going to give you another minute. Give me everything you got. Where's your website? Where can people go volunteer? Give me everything you got.
Sure. So the website is milesforhouston.com. That's Miles, MILESFOR Houston.com. You can volunteer. There's a link on that site. If you'd like to volunteer, you can also just call our campaign office, and the number is 346-229-3997. That's 346-229-3997. We would love to have you. We need poll workers, folks just out there, you know, making voters aware about the campaign and what I'm trying to do, as well as if you're interested in walking, block walking your neighborhood. We've got so many, or making phone calls from home. We've got a lot of different opportunities. If you want to lend a hand, we certainly would appreciate it. And so, yeah, and then also on social media, on Instagram and on Facebook, you can find me there too.
Fantastic. Well, I sure hope things go well for you. And I'm so grateful that you got on the show with us, and keep pounding the pavement.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gilbert. I mean, you are just, you know, you've been so great in all of this. You've been such a great leader in our city, and I know that you'll continue to do great things for us. I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to calling upon you and getting your wise counsel and advice. So thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done.
Well, thank you for those kind words, and please feel free to call in anytime.
Okay. All right, you guys.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, so going back, you know, back to this city. So they have the new proposition that said if three council members, so listen, Houston, if three council members want something on the agenda, they can put it on.
Yes.
Now that might seem like, well, golly, that seems easy. But before this happened, the mayor had the ability to say, if I don't want it on the agenda, it wouldn't
it's
be
off.
On.
Yes.
That's right. And here's the thing. You can have a mayor like me when I was on Metro, when I had any person that wanted something on the agenda, I put it on.
That's right.
Or you can have the what we have now in the city hall, where they just, it's just their way or the highway.
Right.
And so the bottom line is council members just can't get anything on. And remember, if you don't get it on the agenda, you can't even talk about it.
Right.
I mean, my view was I wanted to talk about it, and I'd rather talk about it in Oakland to mm-hmm. the taxpayers than in the cloakrooms. But the bottom line is, you're going to love this. So three council members already, they put on that they're going to put on the agenda to put to have a whole new ordinance about the waters issue.
They already did that.
Yes. Oh, good, yes. Good. And it's going to be amazing. I'm going to just kind of find this for you real quick. It prohibits public or works prohibits the department from correcting water bills if the error is more than 3 months old. So if you've had an error for more than 3 months old, you could not do anything to correct it. But unless that correction is in the customer's favor. So in other words, if the city didn't charge you enough, there's like a statute of limitation.
Right.
3 months. But if we overcharged you,
right,
then you get the refund.
Hmm.
So it goes one way, the taxpayers.
Right.
That's perfect.
Right.
So I'll say that again. So it prohibits public courts from correcting the water bills if the error is more than 3 months old, unless that correction is in the customer's favor.
Okay. So that means there's no limit if it's
that's right. In other words, favor. If it's in your favor, that's right. You can just do it. But in other words, you got to get it right. In other words, that's going to say to the department, you got to make sure you're doing this right.
Mm-hmm.
So do it right. You got 3 months to figure it out.
Yeah.
And if you do it right, then, you know, if you don't do it right, well, you forfeit it.
Yeah.
Because then, well, you didn't collect it. But if it's to the citizens, they can connect. So I think it's a great, great thing.
I wonder what the process is for the citizen to...
Well, I don't know all of that, but here's the other thing, though.
I guess it's still kind of in works.
That's right. Well, but here's the thing. They're on the right path.
Yeah.
And what a coincidence.
There's always a coincidence.
There's a coincidence here. So now the mayor's announced that he'll be releasing his own proposal to deal with high water bills. So in other words, it's like, where have you been?
Right.
All these, we've been going crazy about all these water bills, and all of a sudden he found religion.
I see.
And now that the council members are saying, well, we're going to do something. Well, now he's going to unveil his own.
Wow.
You know what? I guess in many ways, better to get something done than not.
Right.
But my gosh, where have you been? Where's been the leadership there, right? Other than absent.
Right.
But way to go, those council members. One of them is Amy Peck.
Oh,
that is what she's District A.
Mm-hmm.
So way to go for her. I think we have another call there. Do we have another caller there? Do we have another caller there? Cynthia, are you there? Cynthia.
Hey, Gilbert. Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just we're out here pounding the streets, making these phones ring in District H.
So we have another council candidate, and this time it's not at large. It's a district.
Yes.
And that's very different, though, Ruby, because you really, really are the district's go-to, because that's who they know.
Right.
And that's so that means that, you know, whether it's the trash, whether it's the pot, I mean, that's where really the rubber meets the road. Cynthia, what is going on with your race and how's it looking, and give us everything. I want to know everything.
So things are looking great. I mean, we're making great progress on the streets, you know, a lot of voter contact, face-to-face contact. We're block walking every day. We're making phone calls every day. And I mean, things are going well. You know, it is getting a little heated, which is expected. You know, everyone's passionate about the race, but you know, we're just, we're trucking along and we're making the best of it that we can. So it's a lot of work. Unfortunately, fortunately we have a week left, but we're going to make the best of it and just do the best that we can to win this
race. We want to know, what is the top two or three issues there for you in the district? What do people want to know, and what are you saying? What's your pet, you know, your these are my things I want to do.
Well, definitely it's going to be public safety. Everybody's concerned about, police response time, if there's any threat to them as far as like their fire station closing for ambulance because of, just shortage of staff. So it's definitely public safety, and I've worked my entire, my lifetime of service includes nothing but safety, especially public safety. I've worked with police and community to rally, both sides to communicate with one another and how do we support one another in this efforts to bring our safety to our community. So a lot of community policing efforts, a lot of town hall meetings with all entities of law enforcement so that community and police can talk and we figure out how we work together to create safer communities. And the other one
great.
Is definitely going to be public safety. Yeah, public safety. The city cannot afford to do all that is needed when it comes to infrastructure projects, the roads, the drainage, sidewalks. And so it's vital that we have those key partnerships with other agencies like the county, with Metro, with the management district and other agencies to be able to apply for state and federal funding to help us get those projects into our neighborhoods. And one important thing is how do we identify where these projects go? Well, that's why it's key to be involved in the community and know, because these are the communities are the people who are going to tell you where they're needed. And so I've worked with community doing many safety audits, and walk audits to help identify those areas.
Now you're a Houstonian, right?
Oh, native. Been here my entire life. I've lived in District 8 for 49 years.
Come on.
So I'm no stranger over here.
And your family, they've been there too?
Yes. Yes, they have.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. What got you involved with all this? I mean, when there was young Cynthia, when you were in, middle school or
yeah.
Did you say to yourself, I'm going to run for city council? Or did you just, what the Lord just said, or somebody, someone inspired you? I want to get to that. Who inspired you?
It's definitely my parents. My Amen. Father was in the Marine Corps and he served as a Vietnam veteran. My mom worked at a local clinic here called Casa de Amigos her entire life. And she helped, the neighbors and family and friends navigate their way through the medical system to get services. And, just watching them in action is where I developed my passion. And they've taught us what it meant to put others before ourselves. And so, really, Gilbert, my entire life, it feels so good to be able to give back and to see people do well because you've helped them. And so it's become a passion of mine. And I truly feel that it's a calling. I definitely can make, good use of my relationships and my resources that I've made throughout the many years of serving in District H. And so I really feel that I'm well equipped and knowledgeable when it comes to being able to do the job right. And it really breaks my heart when I hear people say that, why should I vote? Politics doesn't change, but that doesn't mean that we give up. We can't lay down and just not do nothing about it. And that's what actually fires me up is when people say that. I really want to encourage people is to get out and vote. Know that your vote counts. This is a city race. It's a municipal race. And this is not like voting for the president when you have electoral, votes and stuff like that. Every vote counts. And there's races that come within, 10, 12 votes of the opponent's winning, a candidate winning. So,
I'd make the case that the local races mean more.
Yeah, they're more important.
Because, you can vote for your senator or something. And, it doesn't really maybe impact you day to day. But boy, your council member, your trash, your stray animals, your roads. Mm-hmm. I mean, that affects you right in your pocketbook.
Right.
And day to day to day. Well,
absolutely.
Give us everything. Like, where do they reach you, and what's your website or your phone number? How can people get in touch with you if they want to get involved?
Yeah. So for first thing, we're looking for anyone who wants to volunteer on the campaign. You can help us with canvassing. You can help us with block walking. And they can contact the campaign at 281-631-3144. You can also go to the website at cynthia4hdh.com, and that's F-O-R, cynthia4hdh.com. And there's a button there where you can click to volunteer, even host an event if you like. And we actually have a lot of great supportive volunteers who have come forward So that's, I've been blessed to not be short on volunteers. So it's great to see people coming forward and wanting to support a candidate who's committed. But yeah, they can go to the website and call the campaign number, which goes directly to my cell phone, by the way.
Oh, how great.
Yes, 631-3144. And we just really encourage everyone to come out. We also have a service. If there's any seniors or anyone who needs a ride to the polls, they can call that number and we'll be happy to give them a ride.
Well, Cynthia, you keep going. And
I am.
Thank you for being on this show. And let's go take the hill.
Yes, I hear you. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, she's got to be one of the most qualified.
Right.
I think she's got the Chronicle and George Spitton and everything, right? Because she's been there a long time. She knows all the issues. Mm-hmm. She's been homegrown, as they say. Yep. What a really great story. I want to go back to another item. So, of course, Houston First. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know why that even exists, right? It was supposed to be the one of the internal convention bureaus, and they spun it out, right? As far as I can tell, so people could make more money and get right. Bitter, but I don't know that for sure, but that's what it looks like to me. So anyways, they're hosting the mayor's state of the city luncheon. Mm-hmm. And they give out, I guess the mayor wrote a piece about him, a book.
A book? That's
yeah,
right.
I think he's trying to correct the, lay the record out, you know?
Yes.
And so he wanted to pass it out. Are you ready for this? The Houston First was going to be buying 600 copies.
Wow.
And you know what the cost was? $124,000.
Wow.
Yes. So the question becomes, crazy. And of course, it was Bill King who first, and sometimes he, you know, Bill and I disagree on things, primarily transit. But boy, on this one, he's got
it
right.
I'm glad he was on
Me
it.
Too. Because the bottom line is, you know, what are we doing, you know, paying for these books?
Yeah.
And that's just taxpayer money one way or the other. And, you know, so there was a whole bunch of, what do they call it, brouhaha?
Yeah.
So they ended up not paying for
good.
It. That's right. But here's the thing. They're not asking the right questions,
mm-hmm.
which is who was going to benefit from that book?
Yep.
In other words,
I wonder.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder. And Kyron lines like mine, right? So the whole thing is this. If you were to look, 600 books, when you do the math, that means each book was $200.
That's crazy.
Have you ever bought a book that was
$200? No.
That's
never.
Right. I mean, you could get one, I don't know, 3D or autographs. I mean, think about that. So if the book itself is so inflated, who was getting that money?
I want to know.
That's what people want to know. So I don't know if the mayor was going to get that money. Well, why doesn't he tell us?
Right.
And if he's not,
maybe it's in the book.
Maybe it's in the book. And here's
got to buy it to read.
You know, and if he's not going to get the money, why doesn't he say, I was never going to get this money.
Right.
You know, it just happened to just be the most expensive book in the history of books. But if he wasn't going to get it, he should just say, guys, you got it wrong. I was never going to get any of that money.
Mm-hmm.
But, or was he getting some of that money?
I guess you need to buy the book. I got to
get it. I got to get the book. But at the end of the day, that's what's wrong.
Yes. Very
that
wrong.
Is what's wrong. Yeah. That people think that's okay.
Right.
And then you can see all this, covering up the tracks, right?
Yeah.
With the whole guy from Houston First saying, well, I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know we were going to have to pay for that book. I mean, it's like, it's, you know, come on. So now it turns out the mayor is going to pay for the books himself. Well, you know what? That's what it should have been.
At the same price?
Well, I wonder, that's a good one. I guess that's the book value.
There you go.
Yeah, which is, you know, one-tenth the price. But the whole point is they did it like in the 11th hour where they pulled the agenda item where they were going to pay for it. And so I'm sure there was a lot of back and forth, a lot of disagreement. I think there's a whole lot there that we don't really know about yet. But it says here, the mayor said, that's not my book. It is a book that was for the state of the city. Well, but isn't it your book? Yeah. You know, doesn't it say it's, I mean, doesn't that look like his book to you when you see that big, big picture there? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you could see that, Houston, but that sure looks to me like his, it's his book. I mean, if I had a book, I think I would be like that. I think I would. And then of course, a source, I don't know who that is, involved with the state of the city says, quote, the mayor's office was in charge of the book. Yeah. And that's a quote for the luncheon. And so here's another one. The city has been highlighting the book on the city's website.
Interesting.
Well, why are they doing that? They should pull that down.
Yes.
You shouldn't be promoting. You shouldn't be making money off of the city.
That's right.
That's the whole purpose for being a public servant. Now, if he wasn't getting any money, well, I stand corrected.
Right.
But he should say that. And everyone should say this. He's not getting any money.
Right.
They should just say that, unless they can't say that. Right. But that's what they should just say. And that way we just move on down the road. But these are just very, very interesting. And I'm so glad that Mr. King brought that out.
Me too.
Of course, I'm going to beat him up in a minute here about Metro. But come on, listen, I'm so glad he did it. Here's one for you. The new scandals emerge in final days of the Mayor Turner's administration. That's the title. Can you believe that?
Was that in the article?
No, it's another thing I got here. New scandals emerge.
Wow.
I mean, this is why, Houston, what we need more than ever, and this is why I ran for office. We need much stronger ethics reform. Mm-hmm. And we need to stop all this making money and who's making money and who's got one contract. And we just got to go back to the bread and butter of making sure that the citizens of Houston are being protected and money is going to them and their servicing.
Yes. Transparency. You were running on transparency, and that's so important so that we can kind of get down to the nitty gritty and figure out, what things we need to correct. Because this is our city. This is our future. It's my future, your future,
that's
our
right.
kids' future. And we have the right to know what direction it's going in. And if we can, we need to correct things, and we need to do them now.
I am so hopeful that between either the congresswoman or the senator, that one of them will really bring forward one of the toughest ethics reforms imaginable. Because, boy, we need it. So let me just go back. Ernie. Ernie, are you there? Ernie, are you there? Miss Ernie. Boy, I have so many notes here. Are you there, Miss Ernie? Okay, she's not. Let's move on. Because I got a lot of callers, I think. Who's the next one? Who's the next caller?
You know, I wonder what the turnout's going to be for the runoff.
Well, if you figure we were, 240 or so thousand?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
You're probably going to drop off another, I don't know, 15, 20%. I know. We need to get the media to really be all over these electants, and they're not.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. And then the media says, God, why is turnout so low?
Yeah.
Well, because you don't talk about it.
That's so true.
Is Ernie, are you there?
Yes.
What you got there, Ernie?
Good morning. Blessings, Gilbert. Blessings, Ruby, to Annette, and
Ernie,
to all our listeners for a great Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, we're all blessed.
Amen. Amen. Well, how did you do for your, Thanksgiving? Did you get a lot of food?
Yes, I made the turkey that we could keep at home, and then we went to my aunt's, which she makes a turkey to blow your mind.
Ooh, I love that
dressing. That's insane. She even puts turkey in the dressing. Don't ask me how she does that. It's a lot of work, and my uncle was, they let him out of MD Anderson for the whole week.
Wow.
So that he could be home, but he had to go back. Oh. Yeah, he had to go back on Friday. But he's doing so much better. Thank God for MD Anderson doing the right thing by people and trying to have volunteers out there who also help. Philanthropic giving to the MD Anderson is amazing. And we just need to make sure that if our family's there, that we support them.
You know, I have experience there. My grandfather had leukemia. And I will tell you, you can't get better care, right? And they're so wonderful. It's just phenomenal.
That's exactly what my uncle has. He has, they call it the reverse leukemia, because you only get leukemia when, like, from ages newborn to seven. That's when it really hits you, as it's mostly kids.
Huh.
But now in our time, recently, doctors say now we're getting the reverse leukemia, where if it's you're 75 to 100, you're getting it because it's something that's dormant in your blood, and now it's called a reverse leukemia because the elderly are getting it.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Me neither. Wow.
I just learned that this since he's been there. But I was calling because, too, I have two things to say.
Sure.
I'm thanking you, Gilbert, and Garcia Hamilton and Associates, because the Alley Theater, as you know, puts on an incredible show with the Christmas Carol, and all of the different corporations help support the trees to be out there all month long, like from December 19th through January 3rd. So you can go and see Gilbert's tree that he's supporting, it's beautiful. And you help the community by your theme is the children. We care about all children. And so we have some of the photos of your team out there, and it's just beautiful. And you're going to get over 500,000 people seeing that tree, because that's how many people go to the theater.
That's wonderful. Now, and please tell me it's not like Charlie Brown's tree. Remember Charlie Brown? Linus had to put the blanket around in it to kind of make it sturdy.
I always liked the Charlie Brown.
It's covered in red diamonds. Yours.
Like that.
you should see. You tell everyone in the community, y'all need to go out there, even if you're going just to see the trees. But the show has very good prices. I sit on the board with the Zocalo for Hispanic Outreach for the Alley Theater. And shout out to my friends on the board. It's important for people to know that they do have rates for kids and special rates. And then we've sent a lot of the schools already on buses over there. And they enjoy it so much, they want to see it more than once.
Well, you
and
know,
for HISD, we need to do it.
I have seen the whole Christmas Carol. It's fantastic.
I have never seen it.
It's got really cool effects, mm-hmm. When like the ghost is talking, this and that.
Right.
It's really, really cool.
It's upscale, and New York gave it a rave. They said New York Broadway said that this was their Off-Broadway in Houston. They said it was incredible.
Yeah, and the seats are all good.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's kind of intimate, it's not real big, but it's super, super good.
Yes, and I wanted to make sure people knew that during this time of giving, because it is the holidays and the churches are asking for everything, and people in need for food, Star of Hope is needing help. But I want to remind everyone that Gilbert, yourself, and Garcia Hamilton and Associates, y'all are huge philanthropic community supporters from everything from the Archdiocese of Houston. An example is Corpus Christi Church, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Children's Museum, Latin American Initiatives. I mean, the list goes on, representing over $4 million in giving. And it's just amazing that you're able to find time to help someone else when you're so busy in your world of, investment banking. So I just applaud you, and I applaud your team. I'm so happy that the Alley is also participating in Get Out the Vote, because tomorrow they're having a panel in the lower theater area at the Alley Theater. And they're going to have a panel talking about what you were just talking about. Why don't people get up and go vote? They're going to ask people. They're going to have a panel, and they're hoping you would be on the panel.
Oh, when is that?
You're so You're so knowledgeable.
When is that?
It's tomorrow.
What time?
At the Alley Theater from 6 to 9. And you go on to their site and you can sign up. They're allowing so many visitors. They're going to have media there.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Would you call me later and just give me all the details? Let me see if I could go.
Would love you.
Yeah, and you're breaking up just a little bit on me, but hopefully you heard me.
Yes, I will call you. And the other thing I want to say before I hang up is that you have been doing Hispanic outreach with LULAC, and you've done an impressive job. One of your colleagues, Don
Yes.
And his wife went to the LULAC commemoratory celebration for LULAC of 60 years that was with JFK when he officially.
Yes. LULAC, we're one of the sponsors for that.
Yes, you were amazing. And he was there. His father-in-law, Deacon David Adami, was honored. And so he was representing your company. We had your name out there.
Oh,
it
great.
It was just impressive because you have been helping LULAC for so many years. This was wonderful that you had your company there. You were able to get the incentive that everyone needs to help. So I appreciate you taking the time to always keep your team motivated, but more importantly, the community, because the community does not exist without corporations like yourself who are out there doing the right thing and giving back and helping, especially during this time of the holidays when things really go awry.
Call me later on, and I really, really appreciate you calling in for today.
Yes, thank you, and I will call you.
Thank you, madam.
Thank you, Rudy.
Bye, Ernie. So I know we have three other people on low. I don't think I'm going to get to them. Who are all those names? I saw Alex. And what's
Yvette?
And then what's AJ?
AJ wants to talk about the mayor race.
Okay, let's see if there's let's get AJ real quick. And I know I've got only 3 or 4 minutes.
AJ, I'll talk to you now.
AJ, are you there? AJ, are you there?
Yes.
I so apologize. I'm going to cut you off soon, but I wanted to give you, because we've got a full agenda today, I want to give you 2 or 3 minutes. Go for it, pal. What do you got for me?
Okay. The issues about voting, they talk about voter suppression. It's easier to vote than it's ever been, and people just don't care. 17% people vote. That's just pathetic. And it's not because people don't know about it. If you know anything about voting, you know there's an election every November. People just don't care. But I guess the other 87% that didn't vote, they'll probably do most of the complaining. But it's not an issue of people not knowing there's an election. You know it's every 4 years. You know it's every November. People just don't care, and they complain. So I don't know what we can do. I remember growing up in Houston, they used to come around the neighborhood with loudspeakers on a band
saying, hey, election
coming up. And everybody knew it. But we have technology. We have social media. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They're more worried about getting on TikTok or Facebook what somebody said about them than voting. Now, crime is always going to be an issue. We know that. We can do a better job on crime. But I would like to see somebody talk about the neighborhoods as far as cleaning up the neighborhoods.
Amen.
You know, people with junk cars in their yard. And
that's right.
AJ, I'm going to lose you in a second. Let me ask you this. Are you just a citizen? Or are you part of the city that does the elections? Or tell me about you.
No, I'm a retired Houston police officer, lifelong Houstonian, born and raised.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to be on the air again. Could you call me at the beginning of the hour, like at 5:01? I mean, 11:05 next Monday, because this is something very important, and you're hitting on it, and I'm glad that you are. I'm demoralized that you are, but you are.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that people need to talk about. Would you be kind to call again?
No problem. 5:01 Monday.
Yeah,
11:05.
I got my numbers switched. 11:05 on Monday, kind of like right now you're calling, but do it at the top of the hour. Because remember, I'm on from 11 to 12.
Okay, God willing, I will call.
I would really love to, because you got a good perspective. And I think at the end of the day, there's no excuses, right? People just need to go vote. So, AJ, I'm looking forward to you calling again, and I'll see you next time, pal.
Okay, hey, you take care.
Yes, sir. Let's queue up our... And those that were on trying to call in, I apologize. We ran out of time. We'll do it some more. Thank you, Bill King, for talking about this whole book thing.
Yes.
I'll talk about the whole Metro thing at the next my next show.
There you go.
So let's go. Let's chew it, chew it up.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Send Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.